Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
But we begin by looking at the old American military standby, air superiority. It is relatively easy for the U.S. to achieve it on the battlefield. As the president meets once again with Pentagon commanders today regarding the ISIS fight, airstrikes around the town of Kobani in Syria seem to be pushing back ISIS forces. The full force of drones, attack helicopters, and fixed-wing aircraft have now entered the fight. Is this a delaying tactic, simply holding back ISIS for the time being? Can air power win Kobani? Or is all this firepower an invitation for Turkey's formidable military to send in its boots across the border to hold Kobani? Well, let's try to answer those questions. We'll begin with the air power itself. Jeffrey White joins us, a defense fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, former senior defense intelligence agency analyst. Welcome to the program, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
How good has the U.S. become in coordinating its air assets, drone, fixed wing, helicopter, to deal with an on-the-ground tactical battle like the battle for Kobani?
We're pretty good in Iraq, where we have a lot of experience working with the Iraqi forces, that experience gained in the past. We're less good in Syria, especially in Kobani, where we have nobody on the ground there to actually work operations and work with the Air Force activity. We do have drones, though, and we can use drones to provide a lot of very good intelligence, including very current and precise intelligence on ISIS locations. So we're not desperate for information.
Do drones supplant or replace special ops on the ground who can create targets and provide coordinates?
They can't replace having eyes on the ground completely. They can do a lot, but it's always better to have a professional military officer that understands the evolving situation in real time on the ground, who knows what the best approach to dealing with it, using air power is. So drones are good, but they're not as good as having special forces and observers on the ground.
Now, we don't have boots on the ground. We don't have special ops, rounding up individuals or targeting and identifying buildings. So in that regard, we're not in the Somalia Black Hawk Down scenario here. But when you bring Apaches and Black Hawks into the theater, what is the chance that an aircraft will be lost and change the whole propaganda value of this entire battle for Kobani?
Well, the Apaches, while they provide a lot of very useful military capabilities, they're also more vulnerable to anti-aircraft weapons than the fast movers or fixed-wing attack aircraft we're using. The Iraqis have lost two attack helicopters in about a week in fighting with ISIS, either to anti-aircraft guns or to surface-to-air missiles. So it shows the risk. You can minimize the risk by taking different tactical measures and so on, but you can't eliminate the risk.
Do they have simply RPGs, ISIS, there in Kobani, or are they using radar-guided missiles and actually really sophisticated things that can take down aircraft of all kinds?
At Kobani, we haven't seen any sophisticated anti-aircraft weapons. They have a lot of 23-millimeter some 57-millimeter anti-aircraft guns, but these are optically directed. That is, somebody's looking through a sight and firing them. They're not much of a threat to the aircraft that we're using in the Kobani area. They are a threat, though, to helicopters.
And how fearful are pilots going into a situation like this? Because, again, with the beheading videos, the propaganda value of a chopper going down in Kobani would be much different than a standard issue sort of Afghan or Iraq battle.
I don't think we're going to see helicopters used at Kobani. It's a long way from any U.S. facilities or coalition facilities that we could fly out of unless the Turks let us. We're using fixed-wing aircraft in the Kobani area. There's a very, very low level of threat to those kind of aircraft. But in Iraq, there's a possibility that an Apache helicopter could be downed. depending on the tactical circumstances. But not at Kobani. We're not using them there.
What's the tactical value of the Turkish military there on the border? Could they provide some of the capability that we're not willing to do with our own boots on the ground at this point?
They could, but they're not. Right? They're sitting there. They haven't taken any direct role in the combat. The main role they've had so far is to prevent the Kurds from providing reinforcements, weapons, ammunition to the people inside Kobani. So they're not really taking any role except controlling the border. They could have a major role. The Turks now have quite a bit of armor, tanks deployed in the area. Those tanks are easily within range of ISIS positions and so on. But basically, the Turkish military is standing aside. A question might be, are the Turks providing any intelligence information and any reporting to the U.S. and the coalition on what ISIS is up to, on the other side of the border? They might be doing that, but we just don't know.
Finally, it's my understanding that as a part of NATO, the Turkish and American forces would be used to wargaming together or doing all kinds of tactical exercises. So the switch could be flipped instantaneously here, I would think, yes?
I think it could be flipped pretty quickly. There's a lot of discussion at very high levels and presumably down to very low levels between the U.S. military and the Turkish military. We do have, as you indicated, a lot of experience in exercise activity and cooperative actions and so on. So, yeah, if the decision is made for the Turks to become involved, they could be pretty quickly integrated into operations.
Jeffrey White, former senior defense intelligence agency analyst and a defense fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Jeffrey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So on that issue of Turkey, is the Turkish military AWOL in Syria? The Syrian town of Kobani sits right on the Turkish border, as Jeffrey said. Turkey has indicated that for the time being, troops will not get more deeply involved in this conflict. Eric Schmick, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, says the administration is struggling with Turkey's murky definition of what it means to be, as it claims it is, in President Obama's anti-ISIS coalition. Eric Schmidt, welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
So great. Based on your sources, is the U.S. going to watch as Turkey watches the town of Kobani fall to ISIS?
Well, John, it's interesting because the U.S. has actually stepped up airstrikes just in the last couple of days, I think in part because of the pressure, the international pressure of seeing these tens of thousands of refugees flowing from Kobani across into Turkey and the remaining citizens and Kurdish fighters trying to fend off the ISIS militants that are rapidly closing in on the town. There's increasing calls from international groups, including the UN, members of Congress for both the United States and Turkey to do more. But these two NATO allies are a little bit at odds here on what to do next.
And what pledges has Turkey made that they're not delivering on in this particular instance?
Well, the Turkish parliament has agreed that it would contribute troops, including aircraft and basing rights for other allied aircraft in the fight against ISIS in Iraq and in Syria. But in the case of Kobani, President Erdogan is appearing to hold out for more. What he wants is the United States to give more assurances that after it's done dealing with ISIS, it will take on President Assad of Syria. There's some concern among some of the Arab allies that have joined the fight that the U.S. is not totally committed to the overthrow of Assad, despite assurances from President Obama that they'll get to that. But the Turks want more ironclad assurances that the U.S. will support the rebels that are combating Assad and not allow the fight against ISIS to strengthen his hand.
I'll ask you a question about Assad in Syria in just a moment, but a lot of people on the ground who we've talked to in Kobani suggest that the Turks are conflicted about their troubled relationship with the Kurds and the fact that there is some evidence that the Turks are sympathetic with some of the Islamist groups inside Syria here, and that's also so-called complicated matters.
Well, it certainly is, John. Of course, the Turks have had a long confrontational relationship with some of these Kurdish groups that have supported separatism in parts of Syria, Turkey, and Iraq. And so there's not a whole lot of love lost between these two groups. For their part, the Kurds aren't necessarily, obviously they face perhaps completely being overrun in this city. But the idea of inviting in their longtime foes, the Turkish army, to come to their rescue is not the most appealing option for them either. So it is a very conflicted situation.
Is the demand or the assurance that the leadership of Turkey is seeking regarding a U.S. commitment to overthrow Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, is that a legitimate strategic and serious strategic demand on the part of these countries, particularly Turkey? Or is it a position that they're taking knowing that the U.S. will never go after Bashar al-Assad, and so it becomes a kind of a face-saving way for them to not get involved here in Kobani?
Well, clearly, I think President Erdogan is trying to use this moment for leverage to force a very reluctant President Obama to commit himself more deeply to the fight against Assad beyond the support of the kind of train and equip program that he's already described. The president has training up to 5,000 rebel soldiers a year, probably beginning early next year is when the first group would be supported. Turkey wants more action sooner. Rather than waiting to defeat ISIS and then get around to Assad, their feeling is let's go after both at the same time. The president is very reluctant to take on that at this point and wants Turkey to play a more active role in dealing with the immediate humanitarian crisis that it faces right across the border in this border town of Kobani.
Quickly, Eric, and I'm putting you on the spot here, any of these senior administration officials suggesting that Joe Biden, the vice president, was actually right about Turkey and some of the allies he's been critical of and had to apologize to?
Well, I think Vice President Biden, with as many gaffes that he's having to go around and apologize for this week, oftentimes is kind of speaking the truth, if you will, comments that many others in Washington wouldn't be able to say publicly. But there's a lot of frustration in senior levels of the U.S. government that the Turks aren't doing more, particularly since it's right there on their border and their best position to try and help relieve the siege of Kobani from the ISIS fighters.
Reporting on the frustration in the administration, Eric Schmidt, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.